Sometimes the long shots pay off the biggest.
Enjoy your pudding.
I will.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that assigns its normalized critical average based on strength of reviewer preference. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Eleanor, queen of the social scene, Mormon.
Of course you can come to my fancy party. In hell.
Tim, Mr. Rogers.
I think my components have a good chance of winning tonight in the neighborhood of make-believe.
And Jeffrey, Jeff Retail Spivak.
Darling, even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes.
Hello to everybody, and thank you for joining us for today's Pop Culture Trivia Challenge match. It is the third elimination match in our Season 7 Chronic Town division. Here, as always, keeping the scores is Scoremaster Dan. Hi there, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. Before we start, I just wanted to let the listeners at home know that we are aware of the injury sustained last season, and the groundskeepers here at the stadium have replaced all of the artificial turf with real grass, although we're still asking that our players today limit the length of their cleats while they're on the field.
Great. Thank you, Dan. And also with us today, working the boards, is, of course, Production Master Dave.
I believe that until proven guilty, every man, woman, and child in this country is innocent. And that's why I fight for you, Albuquerque!
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Saul. And that'll take us right into our first game, a round of My Champion. In this game, each one of our players has previously chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. But we choose the battle those champions are fighting. Gilded Age superfan Eleanor Mormon, who is your champion today?
My champion is Anyanka Christina Emanuela Jenkins, better known as Anya from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Aspiring New Age pianist and competition baking show enthusiast Tim Rogers, who is your champion?
My champion is Yoshi from the Nintendo series of video games.
And Canadian in Colorado, Jeffrey Spivak, who is your champion today?
My champion is the fracking fabulous RuPaul Charles from the Drag Race Global Multiverse of Madness.
All right, three champions are all locked in. I'm going to be our judge today, so let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, which champion is going to be the best behind-the-scenes speechwriter for a presidential candidate? Eleanor, why is Anya from Buffy going to be the best behind-the-scenes speechwriter for a presidential candidate?
All right, well, we're assuming an Anya near the end of the series, at which point she's got her wish-granting powers restored. So she has a real asset here in that anytime she wants to see how something might work out, she can just write into the speech that the candidate would say, I wish for an America that looks like blah, 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 make that reality happen, figure out if it's good or not, and then sort of use that information to inform the speech to be even stronger and more detailed. She can also use that on the audience of the speeches, go talk to voters, get them to wish for what they want, see what that looks like, and then sort of adjust things to be really having all the information when she's writing the speeches. Plus, she's very funny.
Great argument, Eleanor. Thank you. Now, Tim, why is Yoshi going to be the best behind-the-scenes speechwriter for a presidential candidate?
So Yoshi is the quintessential support person or thing or whatever throughout all of history. But Yoshi is also not only an individual, but an entire species. So Yoshi brings the perspective of a single trusted confidant and a multiracial rainbow of every possibility that could bring all that perspective. The other important part is Yoshi is a creature of very few words, and one of the favorite words of Yoshi is, in fact, Yoshi, so that it really has message discipline for that candidate of you need name recognition, you need to keep hammering that in, and they will then be able to know who you are, support you, and be behind you all the way, just like Yoshi.
Thank you, Tim. All right, Jeffrey, why is RuPaul going to be the best behind-the-scenes speechwriter for a presidential candidate?
With all due respect to my fellow players, RuPaul is the only answer for this because RuPaul is somebody who puts himself in the body of somebody that everybody loves, transforms himself into the most glamorous woman in the world. I think there's three key reasons. One, understanding international relations given all of the franchises all over the world. two, really understanding the heartland, given the farm in Montana and this fracking storyline that keeps coming up. And three, just think about the amazing lingo that RuPaul would bring into presidential, you know, speeches and debates. Shade, fish, don't F it up. There's so many things that RuPaul could bring in that would make that compelling television for that presidential candidate.
All right. Three great arguments. Tim, I gotta say, you really started to have me there with sort of, you know, Yoshi's really supportive tendencies in terms of personality. But when you brought in the whole thing that Yoshi really only says Yoshi, as much as efficiency of language is appreciated, I really think that Yoshi's probably not gonna come up with the best actual speech quality in terms of a presidential candidate. Because again, if you're behind the scenes, you really are kind of wordsmithing things, and it's less about your own personality and more about really having sort of words that are going to sound great coming out of anyone else's mouth. That said, as much as RuPaul would write an incredible speech, I think there is almost no one else on the planet who would be able to deliver such a speech that was written by RuPaul in a way that would really track to voters. So while it may have the best speech in terms of the behind-the-scenes element, I think Eleanor's argument about Anya being, you know, having all these different abilities to see into the minds and possible futures based on the specific wishes of people really stands out as the sort of best argument for this particular scenario. So I'm going to go with our winners today being Eleanor and Anya Christina Emanuela Jenkins from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Woo! I'm so worried about the fracking. Hooray!
I demand a recount.
Now, Eleanor, you have won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correct, and you will have half a point more than either of your fellow competitors before we even start round one. Here is the half point question. In what 2019 movie does presidential candidate Charlize Theron hire Seth Rogen to add some comedy into her speeches and general image?
Okay, I briefly thought it was that other movie with Jon Stewart, but I'm pretty sure it is Long Shot.
Sometimes the long shots pay off the biggest.
That is correct, Eleanor. You have won the half point, and you're going to go first in round one, Better Call Someone. We're big fans of the Breaking Bad spin-off prequel series, Better Call Saul, and we're taking this opportunity to pitch other prequel spin-off titles with a similar naming convention. In this game, we'll describe a potential spin-off prequel to something in pop culture. You tell us the title in the form of the words Better Call and then a one-syllable word that rhymes with Saul. For example, if I told you about a spin-off prequel about the Beatle with the surname McCartney before he formed Wings, you'd know that show would be called
Better Call Paul.
That answer would get you 10 points. No hints in this game. Either you know it or you don't. Starting off with Eleanor. A spin-off prequel about Darth Sidious's apprentice from The Phantom Menace.
Better Call Maul?
Yes, Darth Maul himself. Next to Tim, a spin-off prequel about the place the kids are in if the kids are a Canadian sketch comedy group.
Better Call Hall?
Once again, correct. Next to Jeffrey, a spin-off prequel about Daniel Craig's accent choice in Knives Out.
Oh, wow. I know the movie, I remember the sweater, but I don't remember the accent, and I don't know. I'm gonna pass.
Eleanor knows this one.
Better Call Y'all. Oh, what?
Tim?
Is that Better Call Drawl?
Oh, mine is hilarious, though.
Y'all's not an accent, it's a frame of mind.
But it still gets the vibe across.
Okay. Okay, Dan Casino, how many points for got the vibe right?
If you get the vibe right, if the vibe is right on, you do get 0.2 point. If the vibe is wrong, but everything else is incorrect.
Put it on the books.
All right, next, Eleanor, we're back to you. It's a spin-off prequel about Dom Cobb's dead wife in Inception.
Oh, Better Call Maul.
Yes, Marion Cotillard's character. Next up to Tim, a spin-off prequel about the manner in which Joe Don Baker and Dwayne The Rock Johnson are walking.
Better Call Tall?
Yes, with those two versions of Walking Tall. Next up, back to Jeffrey. A spin-off prequel to a 2019 movie about a family surviving a crocodile attack during a hurricane.
Family, 2019, crocodile attack. I don't know why I'm blanking on this, but I'm... No, pass.
That movie was called Crawl, C-R-A-W-L. And it's pretty good. Better than the description implies.
I think you made that up.
I'm with Eleanor on that one. Thank you.
Yeah, that movie doesn't exist.
All right, next up, we are back to Eleanor. It's a spin-off prequel about what would eventually happen to the House of Usher.
Better Call Fall.
Correct for 10. Next up to Tim. A spin-off prequel about the primary location from Robin Sparkle's first music video on How I Met Your Mother.
Better Call Mall.
Let's go to the mall today, yes. Next to Jeffrey, a spin-off prequel about M's best friend from a British series broadcast on HBO.
I don't have it, and I feel like I'm missing it, so pass.
That show with Dolly Wells and Emily Mortimer was called Doll and M, so it's Better Call Doll.
Wow.
You guys keep making up stuff for him.
And that'll take us into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
I just want to tell you, Crawl grossed almost $100 million at the box office and won the Fangoria Award for Best Wide Release. Oh, you people are all just heathens. At this point, Eleanor is in lead with 30 points and the half point. Tim is close behind with 30. Jeffrey has yet to get on the board.
All right, getting back into it with one for Eleanor. It's a spin-off prequel about finding the right actor to play Peter Pettigrew in the Harry Potter movies and the title painter in Mr. Turner.
Oh my God. You know, that guy, he's in the movie. I thought Ian McKellen was in Mr. Turner, but it's definitely not him. Better Call Thrall?
Tim?
Better Call Spall?
As in Timothy Spall, yes. Next up to Tim. A spin-off prequel about finding the right actor to succeed Edward Furlong in the Terminator franchise and set things up for Christian Bale to take over later.
Okay. So John Connor, played by somebody. I'm gonna pass.
This is Better Call Stahl, as in Nick Stahl, who played John Connor in Terminator Rise of the Machines, the third movie. Next up, back to Jeffrey. A spin-off prequel about Brendan, the creator of Home Movies and Metalocalypse.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's out of my wheelhouse completely. But I'm going to throw out there Better Call Ball.
That guy's name is Brendan Small, so this is Better Call Small. One more Better Call spin-off prequel for each player. This one is for Eleanor. A spin-off prequel about the white title entity from a 1996 Jeff Bridges survival flick.
1996? So not Tron? Better Call the White Ball.
Jeffrey knows this one.
Better Call Squall.
White Squall is that movie's title. Next to Tim. A spin-off prequel to two consecutive tracks on Arcade Fire's Grammy-winning album, The Suburbs.
Okay, Arcade Fire is a band that exists. And thank you. And so that would be Better Call Y'all.
Vibes. Vibes.
Yes. Have to represent somehow.
That is Better Call Sprawl, with Sprawl 1 and Sprawl 2 being two tracks on The Suburbs. Our last Better Call prequel is for Jeffrey. We've got a spin-off prequel about Winona Ryder's android character from Alien Resurrection.
Oh, geez. I don't know it, but I will say Better Call Lol.
In this case, it's Better Call Call. Her character's name was C-A-L-L, Call.
Makes a lot of sense.
because all the androids in the Alien movies were alphabetical. They had Ash in the first one, Bishop, and then Call, and then David. Well, that'll do it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to round two.
Going to round two, it's time for the Chipmunk Hunk score break. Chipmunk Hunk? Chipmunk Hunk! He fights crime and other junk. Is he strong? Listen, punk! Something, 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 unk. Right now, Eleanor is in the lead with 30 points and the half point. Tim is close behind with 30. Jeffrey is yet to get on the board. He's got 0 points, but that means he's got to go first in round two.
It also means Jeffrey could potentially tie for the lead after answering the Threequalizer. Jeffrey, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points for each answer you match. Here is your Threequalizer question. Several cast members of the 1998 film Armageddon have released music albums. One released the solo album The Return of Bruno. One has over a dozen albums with his band The Boxmasters. And the other released a 2016 album with Elliot Sharp entitled Rub Out the Word. Who are those three Armageddon cast members?
Wow. Okay. Armageddon cast members. Did Ben Affleck do any music? So I'm going to guess Ben Affleck. I want to say Liv Tyler. And I'm unfortunately out, so I'm going to pass on the third one.
In this case, we are talking The Return of Bruno was the Motown Records solo album by Bruce Willis. Billy Bob Thornton is a member of the Boxmasters. And Steve Buscemi put out an album of William S. Burroughs poetry set to music entitled Rub Out the Words. So Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton, and Steve Buscemi. Well, talking actors and music, that's going to take us into round two, entitled Names and Faces from Studio Spaces. We love a good title mashup. In this game, we'll give you the title of a song and the title of a movie or TV show, though not necessarily in that order. The artist behind the song and the star of the movie or show will have complimentary names for a before and after style mashup name. You give us the new name. For instance, if I gave you The King of Queens and Fire and Rain, you'd know the person's mashed up name would be
Kevin James Taylor.
Yes, Kevin James from The King of Queens, James Taylor from Fire and Rain. Put them together, you get Kevin James Taylor. That answer would get you 30 points. If you need more information, I can give you up to two additional pairs of songs and acting projects to help narrow down your answer. 10 fewer points after each answer you ask for. Let's start round two with Jeffrey. We have a combination name between the musician behind Venta Paca and a star of Black Panther.
Unfortunately, I don't know at all what that song is, so I'm going to ask for a hint.
You could also say it's a combination of the musician behind She Bangs and a star of The Office.
So it's definitely Ricky Martin. I've got that from the She Bangs. So it's definitely Ricky Martin, and this is the guy who is from Sherlock, whose name is Martin. We don't get half points, right? It's Martin. Oh, my goodness. I don't know why I'm not pulling it out. I'm going to have to pass.
Eleanor, what's that full name?
That's Ricky Martin Freeman.
Yes, Ricky Martin Freeman. Next to Tim, a musician behind I Like It and a star of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
I'm going to just go for it and say Cardi B. Arthur.
Correct for the full 30. Nice job, Tim. Wow. Full disclosure, the idea of Cardi B. Arthur being an answer was the entire genesis of this game.
Finally, in the history of the world, watching the holiday special has finally paid off for somebody.
Next up is to Eleanor. We've got a star of Friday Night Lights and a musician behind One Step at a Time.
I'm going to take the hint.
A star of Fantastic Four and a musician behind Red Sangria.
All right, give me the last hint.
A star of Creed and a musician behind No Air.
Okay, so Michael B. Jordan Sparks.
Correct for 10. We are back to Jeffrey. We've got a musician behind Rave On and a star of The Incredibles.
I'm going to take the hint.
a musician behind Peggy Sue, and a star of Broadcast News.
Okay, so Peggy Sue, I'm going to take the other hint. I'm so sorry.
The musician behind That'll Be the Day, and an actor from The Piano.
Okay, so if it's The Piano, I'm going to think Buddy Holly Hunter.
There it is for 10. Next up to Tim, a musician behind The Night Is Still Young, and a star of Altered Carbon.
The Night Is Still Young, I'm fairly certain, is Billy Joel. I'm going to take the hint to get more on that one.
A musician behind She's Got Away, and a star of For All Mankind.
Definitely Billy Joel and For All Mankind. I'm going to take one more, just try to get it.
The singer of Piano Man and a star of The Suicide Squad.
So The Suicide Squad is the second one, and it is not John Cena. Billy Joel McHale.
Jeffrey?
Billy Joel Kinnaman.
Yes, Billy Joel Kinnaman, Joel Kinnaman in all of those projects.
We should also note, of course, you knew this was the second Suicide Squad movie because we are obliged to refer to the first one as Oscar winner Suicide Squad.
This is true. Next up to Eleanor. We have an actor from Whip It combined with a singer of Hold Me While You Wait.
Whip It. I definitely saw that movie in theaters as a teenage girl in the 2000s. But I can't picture enough people and I don't know the song. So hint.
A star of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and the singer of Bruises.
One more hint.
A star of Natural Born Killers and the singer of Someone You Loved.
This is so stressful. I don't know it.
That is Juliet Lewis-Capaldi, with Juliet Lewis in those movies and Lewis Capaldi, the singer of all those songs. Next up, we're back to Jeffrey. We've got the singer of Fantasy combined with a star of The Great Gatsby.
Fantasy sounds like Mariah Carey, which is what I've got in my head right now. And Great Gatsby, I'm not 100% sure, although my gut, I have a gut, but I think I'm going to take a hit.
A singer of Always Be My Baby and a star of Never Let Me Go.
Again, I'm not 1,000% sure, but I'm just going to shoot my shot. I'm going to say Mariah Carey Elwes.
Eleanor?
Mariah Carey Mulligan?
Carey Mulligan in those two movies.
If we could do this as a team, I feel like it would be great because I did not know the Mariah Carey.
Next up, we are back to Tim. We have a singer of Candida and a star of Carnival Row.
I'm going to go straight for the hint.
A singer of Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree and a star of Elizabethtown.
Gotta take the last hint.
The singer of Knock Three Times and a star of Pirates of the Caribbean Curse of the Black Pearl.
Okay, so Curse of the Black Pearl. I'm gonna go. Oh, God. I'm just gonna pass.
In this case, the singer is Tony Orlando, and in all of those is actor Orlando Bloom. So it is Tony Orlando Bloom. Next up to Eleanor, it's the singer of Knockin' Boots and a star of Sneaky Pete.
Give me the hint.
The singer of One Margarita and a star of Malcolm in the Middle.
One more hint.
The singer of Play It Again and a star of Breaking Bad.
Luke Bryan Cranston.
Well, off that answer for Eleanor, we'll hear our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
We still have a very close game at the top. Tim is in the lead with 60 points, but Eleanor is close behind with 50 points and the half point. Jeffrey is now on the board. He's got 10 points.
All right, Jeffrey, see if you can rack up a few more with this next actor-musician before and after mashup. We've got the musician behind Exodus and a star of Coda.
Oh, wow. Okay, star of Coda, I would guess... I don't have it, so I'll take the hint.
a singer of Could You Be Loved, and a star on The West Wing?
Bob Marley Matlin.
Correct for 20. Next to Tim, we have the singer of Don't Give Up and a star of Miller's Crossing.
I'd like to take the hint, please.
The singer of Sledgehammer and a star of Hereditary.
So it's Peter Gabriel, and I'm just going to go for Peter Gabriel Byrd.
Jeffrey?
Is it Gabriel Byrne? Peter Gabriel Byrne?
Yes, Gabriel Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. Next up, back to Eleanor. We have the singer of Sad Songs Say So Much and a star of Star Trek Beyond.
Space. Give me the hint, please.
A singer of Philadelphia Freedom and a star of Columbus.
I live in Columbus. I'll take the last hint.
A singer of Your Song and a star of Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Okay. John Lennon, Kumail Nanjiani.
Tim?
Elton John Cho.
Oh,
Elton John,
oh
the singer
God.
Of those songs, and John Cho is Harold himself.
I'm very embarrassed.
Last one per player. This one is for Jeffrey. We have a star of Real Steel and a singer of The Fear.
Yeah, I don't got it, so I'll take the hints.
A star of Ant-Man and the singer of Alfie.
Okay, so let's talk this out. Star of Ant-Man is going to be Paul Rudd, is my guess there. And you said Alfie, which I should know, but I can only think of Dudley. I can only think of the actor, not the song. So I'm going to let you give me the last hint.
A star of Lost and the singer of Smile.
This is the Canadian woman whose name absolutely escapes me, although her politics don't. So I'm going to have to pass.
That Canadian woman is Evangeline Lilly, and those songs are by Lily Allen. This is Evangeline Lily Allen. Next up, back to Tim. We have a star of About Time and the singer of Millennium.
Millennium is, I think, Robbie Williams. And if I'm putting it together properly, I'm just going to go for it and say Margot Robbie Williams.
Going big for the full 30. Nice job, Tim. And our last of round two is for Eleanor. We have the singer of Can't Run But and a star of Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
I'm just going to take the hint.
A singer of The Obvious Child and a star of Spaced.
And one more hint.
The singer of You Can Call Me Al and a star of Shaun of the Dead.
Paul Simon Pegg.
10 more points for Eleanor. We'll close out round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win a chance to name a score break right here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
These kids have some talent for sports with big thrills, with their wipeouts accented by colorful stills. A conceited young boarder plus his cool older sister. There's a squid-tending goal and a sidekick named Twister.
Think you know what that is? Then go to usaquizshow.com/riddle, submit that episode, and win that prize. Then next week, go ahead and check out our social media to find the answer to the riddle when we post it. We are at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. Let's hear an update on our scores.
Going to round three, it's time for the Jocasta New score break. Jocasta New... Wait, never mind. The score break doesn't appear in the archives, so therefore it doesn't exist. Right now, Tim is in the lead with 90 points. Eleanor is within striking distance at 60 points and the half point. Jeffrey's in third place with 30, but that means he'll get to go first in round three.
And that means anything can still happen here in the lightning round. In the lightning round, players get their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as they can. 10 points for each correct answer they can provide. Today's categories are substitute teacher energy, the great screen romances, The Making of a Master, and One Prodigious Child. Now, those names aren't 100% clear from just their name, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on. Or maybe you want to strategically keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Jeffrey, in third place, you get first crack at a lightning round category today. Which one would you like? Once again, they are Substitute Teacher Energy, The Great Screen Romances, The Making of a Master, and One Prodigious Child.
Oof, I want to say Making a Master, but I'm going to go with Romances.
You have a guess as to what's going on here?
No, but I'm assuming it involves kissing, so let's do that.
Well, there's definitely some behind-the-scenes kissing happening here because we're talking about movies starring people who were married in real life.
Okay.
So both on- and off-screen romance here. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Jeffrey, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Actor-director John Krasinski had to fire another actress so that she could play his wife in A Quiet Place.
Who is Emily Blunt?
Spouses Will Arnett and Amy Poehler creepily play brother and sister in this figure skating comedy.
Pass.
This financial flop starred Madonna and Sean Penn just a year after their wedding.
Oh, I'm gonna kill myself. Pass.
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie starred in By the Sea during their marriage, but met filming this movie.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Tom Hanks both acted alongside and directed his wife Rita Wilson in this 1996 movie.
That Thing You Do.
This 1999 movie was the last of three to star Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Between her stints with Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez starred with this spouse in El Cantante.
Pass.
This Idiocracy star cameos alongside spouse Kristen Bell in the Veronica Mars movie.
Dax Shepard.
Jenna Dewan met future husband Channing Tatum on the set of this dance movie.
Step Up.
After meeting on Bugsy, Annette Bening and Warren Beatty later starred in this 1994 remake.
Reds.
Love Affair. This rom-com queen starred with husband Dennis Quaid in 1993's Flesh and Bone.
Meg Ryan.
Besides Zoolander, this is the other comedy to feature both Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor.
I don't got it.
That is going to be Dodgeball, a true underdog story, with both of them appearing there. All right, Dan, let's hear the Jeffrey Report.
We have just a few passes to go over. Spouses Will Arnett and Amy Poehler play brother and sister in Blades of Glory. The flop starring Madonna and Sean Penn was Shanghai Surprise. And between her stints with Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez starred with one of the assassins of Julius Caesar, shockingly, Mark Antony. No word on how Cleopatra felt about that. Jeffrey got 7 correct answers. He now has 100 points, and Jeffrey has the lead. Eleanor is up next. She's got 60 points and the half point. She'll need to get 4 correct answers in order to pull into first.
All right, Eleanor, 3 category choices left for you. They are Substitute Teacher Energy, The Making of a Master, and One Prodigious Child.
I think I'm going to go with One Prodigious Child.
You have a guess as to what you're in for on this one?
I feel like something about like nepotism babies, but that's probably wrong.
We're talking about everyone's favorite child prodigy, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. So this is going to be all about pop culture portrayals of and references to Mozart. 90 seconds on the clock. Eleanor, are you ready?
So ready.
This actor won an Oscar for playing Mozart's rival Salieri in Amadeus.
Pass.
Australian singer Falco had a one-hit wonder with this Mozart-inspired song.
Pass.
Colin Firth gets over a stutter by listening to The Marriage of Figaro in this movie.
The King's Speech.
Ghostly pianist Amadeus Wolfgeist appears in this Nintendo-produced game series.
Pass.
Mozart goes up against this dubstep artist in epic rap battles of history.
Skrilla.
Skrill-X. This Sondheim musical takes its title from the common name for Mozart's Serenade No. 13.
A Little Night Music.
Frank is the Salieri to Tracy's Mozart on an episode of this sitcom.
30 Rock.
Gael Garcia Bernal conducts the New York Symphony on this streaming series.
Pass.
Mozart appears in Bill and Ted Face the Music, but this German composer was in Excellent Adventure.
Beethoven.
A hook-handed thug thinks about playing Mozart during a number in this 2010 Disney movie.
Pass.
This Swedish film director filmed a live production of Mozart's Magic Flute in 1975.
Pass.
Nigel from this fictional band cites Mozart as an influence on Lick My Love Pump.
Flight of the Conchords.
Spinal Tap. This Monty Python member plays Mozart in the famous death sketch.
John Cleese.
All right. Dan, let's hear the Eleanor report.
Eleanor had a strong round. Let's go through the passes. The actor who won an Oscar for playing Salieri in Amadeus was F. Murray Abraham. Austrian singer Falco had a one-hit wonder with Rock Me Amadeus. Our favorite Nintendo video game around here is Luigi's Mansion, and that is where ghostly pianist Amadeus Wolfgeist shows up. Gael Garcia Bernal conducts the New York Symphony and the show that is, you know, smash but good, that's Mozart in the Jungle. And finally, the director who filmed the live production of Mozart's Magic Flute in 1975 is Ingmar Bergman. Eleanor got 5 correct answers, giving her 110 points and the half point. She is now in the lead. Tim has 90. 2 will only get him to 110, so he'll need to get 3 correct answers in order to take the win.
All right, Tim, last 2 choices for you are Substitute Teacher Energy and The Making of a Master.
I'm going to go with Substitute Teacher Energy.
You want to take a guess as to what this is going to be?
I'm feeling it's something like people who replaced other people on the same role or something like that.
Not quite. In this case, we're going to be talking about the person who is most accused by Gen Z of having substitute teacher energy. That is Lin-Manuel Miranda. So all about the life and career of songwriter, polymath, whatever you want to call him, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I'm actually much happier with that than what I said, so thank you.
Great. 90 seconds on the clock. Tim, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Despite playing the title role, Miranda loses a lead acting Tony Award to this Hamilton co-star.
Leslie Odom Jr.
His character from the stage production of In the Heights is named after this military organization.
U.S. Navy or Usnavi.
We Don't Talk About Bruno was the bigger hit, but this Encanto song scores the Oscar nomination.
Dos Oruguitas.
He writes this song for Dwayne Johnson to sing in Disney's Moana.
You're welcome.
Miranda takes a turn in the director's chair for an adaptation of this Jonathan Larson musical.
Tick, tick, boom.
He did Spanish translations of dialogue for a 2009 revival of this musical.
Rent.
West Side Story. He's this character's older brother on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Amy.
His one-act musical 21 Chump Street adapts a segment from this public radio program.
This American Life.
He delivers a cease and desist order to Billy and Julie for their Jimmy Carter musical on this Hulu series.
A Search Party.
Difficult People. He collaborated with Tom Kitt on the music for this musical based on a 2000 movie.
Bring It On.
This In the Heights book writer also worked with Miranda on the 2021 animated film Vivo.
Huedes.
Miranda played Lee Scoresby on the small screen after this actor played him on the big screen.
The Golden Compass.
The property is The Golden Compass, or His Dark Materials, on TV, where Miranda played the same role that Sam Elliott played in the movie version. All right, Dan, let's hear the Tim report and the final scores.
All right, Tim did not push that pass button, so we can go straight to the final scores. Tim got 8 correct answers, and that means our final scores are Jeffrey with 100, Eleanor with 110 points and a half point, and our winner with 170 points, it's Tim!
Tim!
Woo-hoo, Tim!
Tim! Tim!
Good job! Congratulations, Tim! But that sadly means that it is the end of the road here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show for Eleanor and Jeffrey. Still a super fantastic game. Really, really enjoyed playing. Thanks again for joining us. Before we go, We want to note that Eleanor is on Twitter at eKennedyBiz1st or eKennedyBiz1st. She writes for Columbia Business First and hosts their podcast, Women of Influence, showcasing powerful women in the Central Ohio business community. Tim has music and photography on his website, timrogersmusic.com, and has written a lot about Disney World over at themouseforless.com. Jeffrey is on Twitter at JeffreyTail. Links to all of these things that I just mentioned about our players are in your show notes, so scroll on down in your app and check all of that stuff out. Once again, congratulations to Tim. You're going to be moving on to the Chronic Town Division Finals. You can also follow Tim as the Tiger Emoji over on our Season 7 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the third elimination match in the Monster Division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, Jeffrey, Eleanor, and Tim, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
And that's why I fight for you, Albuquerque!